Amen. Give me just a few moments, and I'm just doing this for those who are visiting us for the first time or you haven't been here in a while. We're finishing this theme, and God is beginning to move us into another theme, and I'm believing that it's about being supernatural people, spiritual people, not just people who are surviving or just barely making it. But this series in Daniel chapter 1 through almost 7 talked about how to stand firm in what God says. And at the same time, love those out there that are lost without Jesus. That was the core. How can we be a great influence, and how can we be part of their lives and still win them to Jesus? Love them where they're at. Let them ask us questions about why we believe what we believe and why we stand on the Word. And it's okay if they disagree with us, but at least they know that we truly care about. So the question we've been trying to answer is very, very important. As you see it up there, it is, how do we connect with people? And I think it's important that we do know how. And we have to use the method, the strategy, the influence that is from Jesus, from Daniel, that works. It's eternal. It's forever. This culture today needs truth and grace. And that order, truth sets people free, and grace allows them to receive something that is so powerful and so real. So one of the most important things that I want you to get is that before we begin to correct people and tell them how wrong they are, that's not our approach. We want to be able to connect, have a relationship, let them know us. I have a note here that I wrote down probably, and I think I got it from one of your Facebooks, because I like to steal things from other people. It says something like this concerning influence. Your smile is your logo. Your personality is your business card. How you leave others feeling after the experience with you becomes your trademark. So as we begin to connect with people and begin to have some kind of relationship, we're not going to put too much pressure on ourselves. We're going to look for one. And this is what I loved about the outreach that took place for 5 weeks and the outreach that we did at the Riverwalk. And that was looking for one. Connecting before we correct. Learning how to serve grace with salt. And you'll see that. And I'm going to give you three very good points. These thoughts have already been recorded. You can go on the website and you can get more information. But how do we serve grace with salt? One is we connect with people. Jesus connected with people before he corrected them. Second, we walk the talk. We begin to live what the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ are. And so as we begin to move in that realm, it's not so much about pointing the finger at them, but being available, because many people ask for help and direction. They have a lot of questions. And the third step that I begin to express is keep it plain and simple. And what we mean by that is that you invite them to one of our three services a week. You invite them to our over 20 different support groups that New Beginnings have. Your job is to invite them and then begin to turn them over to the Holy Spirit. You cannot play Holy Spirit. Your job is just to invite them, and your job is to be able to share, this is what Jesus has done for me. I hope your experience is the same. The problem that we run into is that we invite them, and then we want to play Holy Spirit. So once we invite them, we say, Holy Spirit, take over. Holy Spirit, take over. Holy Spirit, take over. And so as we begin to exercise and begin to speak and begin to say and begin to live and begin to approach and begin to help and begin to connect, we begin to have what we call a relationship. It's important that the view of God from the culture, from the world, is pretty distorted. We know that already. It is our job to present the true colors and the true attributes of the God that created the heavens and the earth. And so this is why I want to conclude these thoughts with this thought about the four pictures of God. Three of them are very incorrect. And we want to make sure that when we talk about Jesus and when we share about the things of the Word and the Spirit and the power of His Word, that we're doing it rightly and pure and honest. And that is just be simple and real, that basically that you are where you are because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we begin to have relationship... And we don't want to distort the common definition of relationship. It's, again, just being available when they ask. Because when they ask, they're going to what? Receive. And relationship is basically saying is that you care. I really do care about you. So acceptance is understanding that I'm going to accept you even though your view is really different. But if you give me opportunity and if you give me opportunity to influence and help you, I want to share with you the Jesus of the Bible. So what happens is that believers need to begin to put on their listening skills. They begin to put on their listening skill, understand them, why they think that way, why they behave that way, why is their background, why is exactly the state and condition that they're in, and you'll be able by the Holy Spirit to give you the wisdom and knowledge to help you understand they are where they are because they've been hurt, they've been damaged, they've made bad choices, bad decisions, but thank you, Jesus. Once you give them the right Jesus, they're going to be set free in Jesus' name. They're going to taste the goodness of God, and then you're going to be able to help them grow up in the things of God. And you're going to tell them, you know what, if you really want to grow and if you want to have stability and if you want to have structure and if you want to have accountability and if you want to be responsible, we have a 2-year Bible school that you can enjoy and be part of, and it'll help you grow long term. Somebody say amen to that. So the core is having the same influence like Daniel. And it's important to realize that a lot of times we can accept someone without approving their views or lifestyle or behavior. As a parent, I accept my children and I love them unconditionally. But I do not always approve of what they say and how they act. But I love them. So connecting with people, having the listening skills before we begin to correct them should be the foundation of the great understanding. And we have to view the culture as people, not as a project. And if we begin to address and give them the wrong information about God, then we're having a difficult time reaching people. But the bottom line is that this task is not new. In fact, Jesus, while he was here on earth, had to deal with the same thing you and I had to deal with. And that's why Mark 8, if you read with me in verse 27, 28, and 29, Jesus and his disciples were on, they went into the village around Caesarea and Philippi. On the way, he asked them a question. Jesus asked the disciples a question, says, who do people say that I am? They reply, some say you're John the Baptist. Others say you're Elijah. Still others say you're a prophet. But I want to ask you about you. Who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, you're the Messiah. With a very brief exchange, I want to help the body of believers this morning. There are four perceptions about God that was emerged in the disciples and respond to Jesus with the question. Now, three of them are very incorrect, and I just want to share them with you. And there's only one that the one that you and I have to ask God and the Spirit to make sure that we've tasted the goodness of God and we're presenting this Jesus, this God, this Bible, this fellowship, the kingdom, eternal life. We're doing it in order. We're doing it pure. We're doing it right. And we're laying that seed that's going to be there for a long, long time for the glory of God. Because you and I can raise our hands. We have people that need to get saved. So, Father God, this morning, as we begin to take a look at the reflections, as everyone said, some say you're this, some say you're that. As we look at some of those views that are not correct this morning, Lord God, I pray that as we leave today, we know that we have a great task ahead of us because we want to present this Jesus correctly to a culture that is dying. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The first one. A locked gate. One of the views of the pictures of God that they present is a locked gate. The question that I have to the body of Christ, why is it that you lock your house? Why is it that you lock your gates? You have your reasons why you lock your house and your gate. So the first mistake of the view of God can be seen in the form of a locked gate. It reflects the myth that God cannot and does not want to be reached. And so many people think that God is far away and they're getting to a place of a long journey with a lot of hoops to jump over. And unfortunately, my friends, some churches and some religious denominations reinforce this perception, causing others to feel like outsiders. The second view that I see in Mark 8 is a pile of luggage. A pile of luggage. And this perception basically says that it is so impossible to be loved by God because I have so much baggage in my life. It's going to take a while for God to love me or to bring correction my way, and people are mistaken. Because I want to say to someone that has this thought that what when it's all done, and whatever we've done in the past, whatever has happened in our lives, it's no shocking or secret to God. Y'all can say amen to that. And so he knows and he still accepts us and he still loves us just the way we are. So if you know the Bible a little bit, it says that God demonstrated his love for us while we were yet still sinners. He died for us. He even used people with a lot of kind of mess up and bad backgrounds to help us understand how truthful and how amazing he is in our lives. The third view of the picture of God that we is important, because you got to remember the people that we're going to try to reach have these very difficult, diluted, hard view of Almighty God. It is our job that we become living epistles. It is our job to have the joy of the Lord, have the peace of God, have faith in Him, have that smile, have that person. It's how once they leave us, what's the impression that we have left them? And that becomes very powerful for us as we go forward to continue to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ. The third false view is an endless ladder. He requires too much for those who seek him. People in this camp assume they have to change first. And I just want someone to hear this, that he wants you exactly the way you are. No way. Yes, he wants you exactly the way you are, because he does the cleaning and he does the purifying and he does the work and he does what needs to happen. And it's a journey and it's for a long time. I've been doing this since 1980 and I've got a long ways to go. I think you guys can all say amen to that for you, right? Amen. So this endless ladder is that they say, well, I got to do all this. And this is why we made a commitment here at New Beginnings that we want to accept people right where they are, exactly where they are. We want the liars to come to church. I didn't hear too many amens on that one. We want the all alcoholics to come to church. And we want those that have a difficult lifestyle and they're not sure if they're a boy or a girl and they're all that, we want them here in church. Why? Because the Spirit of God is the one that does the changing, the directing, and the guidance. Because if we don't, who's going to reach them? Now, is that a risk? It is a risk. But I'm willing to take that risk to invite everybody to come to New Beginnings, love them, help them through, take them through the Bible school, take them to the support group, and the Spirit of God will say, son, daughter, I want to speak to you. This is the way you should be. But if we chase them away, who's going to reach them? But that's the risk that we take. You heard me say this a lot of times, right? If you knew me like I know myself, you would never come and hear me preach. But if I knew you like you know yourself, I would have the doors locked when I see you walking in. It is a risk. But Jesus is coming soon. I'm not sure when, but we made a commitment to say, okay, God, we want to make sure we present the real Jesus of the Bible. Okay. Here's the correct view of Mark chapter 8, a free gift. Would you please say it, free gift? Free gift. Would you say it again? So the accurate view of God as our Savior, He loved us as a free gift. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. This reflects who He really is. There's nothing we can do to make Him love us more, and there's nothing we can do to make us love us less. We simply accept the gift as the grace from the Lord Jesus Christ. They come in dirty spiritually. We help them get cleaned up. We have great testimonies here at New Beginnings of every area that I spoke, from a liar to an addict to someone they thought they were this in the lifestyle, and they find out that's not the lifestyle, and we help them walk through it and say, you know what? God's called me to be this person, not that person. It's a lot of work, but we're willing to take that risk because Jesus is the one that paid the price. You heard me say this before, and I'll say it again. Judas, the one that betrayed Jesus, had the best pastor, had the best leader, had the best teacher, had the wisest people around him, had some of the best friends, and he still failed. The problem isn't the leadership or the body of Christ. It is the attitude that doesn't change or the character that's not transformed. And if it's not, then you'll always be the same. And you'll be like the Israelites in the wilderness, going around, never going into the promised land, never conquering the giants, never overcoming, never winning, never being a champion, never being successful. And I love New Beginnings because I just talk about you all the time. You should come to New Beginnings because there's some people there. Oh, Lord. I mean, they went to hell 3 times and 2 times they went back on purpose. And they still made it out. So as Ed comes, I just want someone to know God's story is in you. And as you tell this story, evangelism is very simple. I just want to tell you what Jesus has done in my heart. You don't want to preach, you don't want to teach, and you don't want to rebuke, and you don't want to hold signs up. Do I believe in that? You may, and it's okay to, but I'd rather just try to win one by one for the glory of God. This verse has ministered to me for the last 2 weeks. And anything that ministers to me, I always give to you, and I hope it ministers to you. That this verse is found in Romans 8:28, and you've all know it already, but I love the first part that we know. We know. And Ed, that was correct. You the flow before our worship and our prayer time about how God takes care of us and he cleanses us and he protects us and he watches, because we know. We're not hoping and wishing. That's why I've never bought a lottery ticket. I'm not a very good, you know, loser, so I just want to just earn my pennies and save them, and I can feel good that I didn't waste my money trying to find something outside of God. All I say is that if you choose to keep playing the lottery, please do so, but just give your offering after you win. That's all I ever ask. And we know that all things, God works for the good. That's been sustaining me and helping me, that we know that all things work out for the good. So whatever your struggle, your pain, your hurt, because I know he's trying to challenge you. You don't have problems, you have challenges. We get them confused. Oh, I have a problem. No, I have a challenge. But God is giving me the strength to overcome those obstacles in my life. And we know that all things work out for the good to those that love him. And I know everyone in this room loves him, who have been called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. God is writing his story in you. And what he's doing, and I'm just telling you what he's doing right now, and I hope you believe me this morning. I'm behind the pulpit. This is the only time I ask you to believe me. Is behind the pulpit. God is writing his story in you, and what he's using your experience, he's using your challenges, he's using the time of great joy, included with your family, your network of friends, and those who are part of your influence. God walks with you every day, all day long. And he uses every circumstance to develop you into that man and the woman he desires you to be. And many, many people believe that God is impersonal. And I want you to know this morning, God is about a personal relationship. So the picture of God in the scriptures, God is intimate and is involved in your life and is working all things for the good. Even those tough challenges. And sometimes we've all done it. We've taken the wrong path. But God just redeems us. He says, get back on the path. Sometimes you make those wrong decisions. But God redeems our failures. He uses our joy and our sorrow and laughter and tears. And works them out for the good. Some way, somehow. Be patient. Have faith. Be patient. And you get to experience his promises. Whether if you feel like it or not, God is writing a story in you, like a master potter working this clay of molding and forming you, and he knows exactly. So life is more than just a set of experiences and a personal belief. Everything you experience, you know, you must believe. It's grounded in the Word of God. So what he's telling us, begin to submit to God. Learn how to resist the devil. Learn how to resist the devil, and he will what? And the reason why he hasn't flee, because you've given him permission to hang around. I celebrated 30 years of preaching the word and counseling. And every addict that I have ever met of my 30 years that I've helped them get their life together, I've said these words to them: you've got to be sick and tired of being so sick and tired. Because if you're not tired, you're going to keep living that lifestyle. But if you're ready, you become accountable. you have a structure and you become responsible. And it takes 2 years. It takes 2 years. Somebody say 2 years. So if a liar or a drug addict or somebody that left their wife or their husband and they're in debt or they have a lifestyle that is of the world, we're giving them 2 years to get all that filth and all of that hurt and all that pain and all. It takes 2 years to get everything out of your system so that you can walk in freedom. Can you be patient for 2 years? We're not very good with patience, are we? Because we want the results right away. So I'm looking around the house of God and I said, wow, I remember when they first walked in. Today they're pillars in the community. But before they walked in, I don't know, but only by the grace of God, there we go. Amen? Amen. I just want you to do one thing with me. I want us to come and celebrate with us 1 year of letting God stir us up to become salt and light to the community, and that we would make the difference in Pueblo. There's 170 churches in Pueblo. There's more churches than bars. But can I tell you, every month that passes by, 5, 6 of them close down. Every month. We're going strong and we're going to continue to go strong because we're submitting to God. And we're resisting so that they can flee. If it's still there, it's because we're giving it permission. Let's no longer give it permission. Would you please stand with me? I'm going to ask you to do one thing.